Father, I thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I need to seek your forgiveness as well as these ladies for not being more careful with these questions. So I just pray that you would be our teacher and our guide. Lord, what will we do without you? And we pray for Deb that's back in the hospital, Lord, that they can't figure out how to heal this wound. And yet, Lord, you're the great one. You're the almighty physician. And we ask in the strong name of Jesus that you would bring healing. And Lord, if it's something they're just overlooking, we ask that you would bring that to the forefront. We also pray for Darlene that has ups and downs and needs your strength, Lord. These battles belong to you, Lord. Help us to give all of our battles to you, and we'll see how you're going to work them out in our lives. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd make some sense out of this lesson. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you'd like to turn to Ezra 4, hopefully that's where we are. If you want a more perfect teacher, I'll suggest a couple studies. But we're learning together, aren't we? Well, when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles had returned and were rebuilding the temple, they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and suggested, "Oh, let us work with you. We're good workers. For we're just as interested in your God as you are. We've sacrificed to him, and ever since the king of Assyria brought us here." How did that happen? Well, they had a deal where they picked up all of these slaves, and then they would bring them into the land to keep the land going. Perhaps they needed food and harvesting and so forth, so they brought them in there. I remember when my son was in Israel for a year that he went to this area, it's still called Samaria, and they were sacrificing a goat. I don't think I would have wanted to go see that. But that they're the same eclectic group of people. They're not Jews. And even though they were trying to claim that they were part, they weren't. And so the leader said, "No, you may not have any part in this work. The temple of God of Israel must be built by Israelites, just as King Cyrus had commanded." And just remember that that Sumerian group or whatever is in the land is not Jewish. It's a eclectic group. Well, then the local, I put it in my notes, the local yokels, they tried to discourage and scare them by sending agents to tell lies to King Cyrus. I thought, isn't that the deal? Doesn't that sound like a high school maneuver? Or junior high maneuver? You know, when somebody's telling somebody something. So this, however, didn't just stop. It lasted the whole time King Darius was on the throne. And there's a thing to think about here is that you can expect, if you're doing some kind of a work for the Lord. Now, I don't, you know, it could be missionary work, it could be volunteer work, or I don't know, something special. Expect opposition. Just expect it. It's just going to come in some way or another, and you won't like it. You know, the enemy of our souls does not want us to succeed and wants to trip us up or make us look bad. But it was through a whole reign. There's another principle to think about too, because Satan wants to defeat us. If you obey in the first place, you won't find yourself in this mess. And what had they found themselves in? 70 years of discipline out in Babylon. Sometimes we kind of skip over that and think, Oh, it's no big deal. Well, they've been punished. But it is a big deal because you can avoid that altogether, like being unequally yoked, and then you marry somebody you never should have married in the beginning. So remember that. God has principles and things for us, and if we purposely go against them, there's a price to pay. It's not much fun. Well, after King Ahasuerus began to reign, they wrote a letter accusing the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, isn't that just lovely? The king stopped the work. There was a letter that came back in Aramaic. He couldn't read a word of it, but he got somebody to translate it for him. Dear sirs, greetings from your loyal subjects west of the Euphrates. Don't you love these letters? Yeah. Today it's all abbreviated and it's just a very small bit. And these guys really put in the formality. But please be informed that the Jews sent to Jerusalem from Babylon are rebuilding this historically city, and it's an evil city. And they have already rebuilt its walls, and they've repaired the foundations of the temple. But we want you to know that the city is being built at your disadvantage. Coming around this way and getting at the Jews. Well, you might say, why would they be getting at the Jews? Well, simply because they didn't want them back in the land. Keep them out. Keep them out. It seems like that's what's going on today, too. That little strip over there, it's smaller than New Jersey, and it's Islam, and most of their surrounding neighbors don't want them there. Of course, they want to take over all the good stuff that they've planted and done. And nothing else seems to have changed. So they call it an evil city. This is the place where the Lord Jesus will reign someday soon, I hope. And so it was rebuilt, and they're telling the king, it's much to your disadvantage, because the Jews will refuse to pay taxes. Huh? Where do they get that? They just dreamed that up. Wouldn't that be interesting today? Word is not going to pay taxes. Sounds good. I'll see you in prison. But since we're grateful to you, O King, we want to see you not taken advantage of. Oh, aren't they thoughtful and dishonored in this way? So we had to send you this information so you could search it out in the ancient manuscripts. At least they were telling them some good advice. But you know, when you think about the ancient manuscripts, do you know what they wrote in? They wrote in cuneiform. Have you ever looked at cuneiform? They're a bunch of triangles. Go this way, go this way, go this way. I don't know how anybody translated that. It is really a strange alphabet. They could discover for themselves it was a rebellious city and that they had been against the kings. Well, that was a whole different story. They weren't against any Assyrian kings or Babylonian kings. That was way back when they were trying to get the Lord out of Jerusalem and bring in idols and so on. Well, they're telling him, if you allow this portion to be rebuilt, all this section will be lost to you forever. Now, see, those are things that would really jar a king. He'd say, you better rethink this. So he wrote a letter back saying their letter was translated from the Aramaic and read to the king. And they ordered a search of the records. You know, I was thinking there's no microchips. There's nothing you can just run through a newspaper even. It's those triangles again. And I thought, oh, I wonder how long it took to translate those triangles. And if you haven't seen that, look that up in a dictionary someplace. It's just weird. So they were telling them they were rebellious and they were going to commit sedition, that he would have nothing to do with them. But I have found great kings in Jerusalem who have ruled the entire land beyond the Euphrates River and have recorded vast tribute for the toll. And he wanted the work to stop so that he could investigate thoroughly. It's so sad, you know, because the real irritation behind the whole thing is they wanted it to stop completely so that they could get rid of the Jews. But you know what? The Jews didn't have this land again until 1948. And that's a long time. But they started here. And if they had only been obedient in the beginning, it would have gone so much better. Then we go over into chapter 5:1. And did you see where there was two prophets in Jerusalem at that time, Haggai and Zechariah? I was really impressed with them because they told the people and they encouraged the people. But not only that, they got in and helped. You know, so easy it is to kind of criticize or put aside, but to get in and get dirty, get your hands dirty, and start building is amazing to me. That's what leadership should show the way. It's so important. So, the messages from God, from these two prophets to Zerubbabel and Yeshua, attempted to encourage them to start building again, and they did. But the governor and a few others demanded, "Who gave you permission to build the temple?" Can you imagine? It's going to be very interesting when we get into Nehemiah because they'll have jewelers and they're going to have bakers and they're going to have all these other people that have nothing to do with masonry things. And here again, this is all being done by your lay people. They were going to finish those walls. So the guys decided to write a letter to King Darius, and they wanted names. Give us some names so we can get these people in prison. They sent along names and great stones. And again, I have no idea how they carved these huge stones to make not only the walls, but the temple. And please don't tell me if they're aliens from outer space. I just have to watch that every time that comes on TV. I said, "You're so wrong." It's not aliens at all. Anyway, a little humor. They wanted those names and they sent them along. Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, of course, the temple and the walls, but the other said King Cyrus of Babylon issued a decree that the temple should be rebuilt. And finally, they found that decree. And remember, a decree is so important that if you disobey it or if you don't follow it, it means death to you. So know that a decree is very serious. And they had a few gold and silver bowls they needed to return because Nebuchadnezzar had helped himself to those and taken them from the temple. There were several that appointed by King Cyrus to take them back, and I thought that was good also. King Darius instructed him to return the bowls to Jerusalem and let the temple of God be built there as before. Don't interfere. And then Sheshbazzar, there was another guy that I thought had an interesting name. That's in Ezra 5:6, I think. Yeah. So they had King Darius to search the scriptures. We call them scriptures, but they're not. Those are cuneiform things. Well, they're made out of clay, yeah. I can't imagine going through all that to find out what Cyrus had said. So they asked King Darius to search, and he did, the royal library, and then he to see if indeed this decree had been written up, and it had. Again, just remember, it's nothing like today for us with microwave and fast. We want everything fast, whether it's microwave or microfilms. We want it fast. So I can't imagine looking for that. Anyway, they had found it and in the House of Scrolls. I thought that was pretty neat, too. They had to build huge places to contain all these things that were written. So, well, the king instructed the new governor of Judah to return the bowls to Jerusalem and let the temple of God be built there as before. So Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the temple at Jerusalem, and the people have been working on it ever since, though it is not yet completed. Wasn't completed till 515. We request that you search the royal library of Babylon to discover whether King Cyrus ever made such a decree. Well, he did. And let us know, the people of the land, your pleasure in the matter. So King Darius issued orders that to do a search. And eventually the record was found. It was found in the province of Media. There's just tremendous amount of stuff that had to be done. I'm so glad we are on everything being micro, whether it's cooking or whether it's records, because, my gosh, that would take so much time. Well, in the first year of the reign of King Cyrus, a decree had been sent out concerning the temple of God at Jerusalem, where the Jews offer sacrifices. It is to be rebuilt, and the foundations are to be strongly laid, and the height will be 90 feet, and the width will be 90 feet. There'll be three layers of huge stones in the foundation, topped with a layer of new timber. All expenses will be paid by the king. Now, wasn't that, generous, that's what I thought. And the gold and the silver bowls that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar will be returned. And I was really glad they hadn't melted them down. I think that's what I might have done. Anyway, so King Darius II sent this message to Governor Shethar Banzai and other officials west of the Euphrates. Do not disturb the construction of the temple. Let it be rebuilt on its former site. And don't molest the governor of Judah and other leaders in their work. We're going to get into that much more. And you're going to be impressed with the lay people taking up their hammers and whatever else they had to use. Don't discourage them. Don't disturb them. And moreover, I decree that you are to pay this full construction cost without delay from my taxes collected in your territory. In other words, he's not even taxing them for this. He's saying, I will pay the taxes. Wouldn't that be nice to get a letter in the mail? The governor's going to pay our taxes. That was to go to rebuilding. Give the priests in Jerusalem young bulls, that's very expensive, rams, and lambs for burnt offerings to God of heaven, and give them wheat, wine, salt, olive oil each day without fail. Then they will be able to offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven and to pray for me and my sons. Anyone who attempts to change this message in any way will have the beams. Did you read that part? No, you couldn't have read that part because I didn't give you chapter 6. you did it anyway. You're getting on to me. Sorry, I really apologize for that one too. I'll try to do better. His house will be pulled down and built into gallows. I mean, not just pulled down, but built into gallows, in which he will be hanged. And his house shall be reduced to a pile of rubble. The God who chose the city of Jerusalem will destroy any king and any nation that alters this commandment and destroys this temple. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be obeyed with all diligence. It's almost like we have too many cooks here, or too many kings, or too many governors, or whatever. Well, the temple is completed and dedicated. Governor Tejani and Shazar Bonzai and their companions compiled once with the command of King Darius. And so they really got in and began building. And on this February 18th, in the year of the reign of King Darius II, the temple was dedicated with great joy by the priests and the Levites and all the people. You can imagine such joy. What a mess it must have been, though. Then the priests and the Levites were divided into their various service groups to do the work of God as instructed in the law of Moses. They went right back to the law of Moses. So important. That's what God wanted them to do. So when the Passover was celebrated on the first day of April, for by that time many of the priests and Levites had consecrated themselves, and some of the heathen people who had been relocated in Judah and turned around from their immoral customs and joined the Israelites in worshiping the Lord God. They, with the entire nation, ate the Passover feast and celebrated the Feast of the Unleavened Bread for 7 days. There was great joy throughout the land because the Lord had caused the king of Assyria to be generous to Israel and to assist in constructing their temple. Now see, that all makes sense to me. I'm sorry I didn't write it that way. I can see meeting King Darius saying, "You didn't give me enough credit." But we try. There was a question that came in about a month ago, I think it was, said that they brought all these animals from Babylon, and what about the animals for sacrifice? The answer I came up with on that is that there was too many of them. They didn't count them. They only counted the ones like horses and bulls and where there was very few. I didn't want anybody hanging out there with that, wondering what happened. We're going to get these temples and homes and everything else built. It's really interesting. But it's not easy. So, Father, we thank you again for good news as well as healing that we need with our ladies. We just pray that you would step in. And Lord, we know that the Bergens want the very best for their daughter and this young man, and we trust that this is what this will be, and that you will be right in the middle of it. Thank you for each lady that's here today, Lord. Help them to wade through these lessons and to get things out of it that we need to know. That your word is so important. If we ignore it, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. So have your way, Lord, and we'll give you the praise for this week. In Jesus' name, amen.